Welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
I want you to imagine for just a moment that you had enough space in your life to take a nap, right? Some of you still live in that type of a luxury. Most of us as parents would say that those days are long gone maybe. We nap at work now instead of at home. But when was the last time like you had a nap, like a really good nap? One nap in particular that I remember was a really, really good nap, and it was in high school. So when I was in high school, I had the ability to do that. Youth seemed to have that knack, and I could fall asleep almost anywhere at any time if I just decided to lay down and do that. And so frequently, I would find myself taking naps in the living room, on the floor, or on the couch. And one afternoon, I went down on the couch, and I was out, and I was dead to the world. And it was one of those deep, deep, deep sleep naps, and I was gone. And I woke up and it was 6:30. I had been just left on the couch and it was 6:30, and immediately like I jumped up and I was already late. It was during football season. I had practice to get to before school. I had school rolling up. I was gonna have practice after school. And I was immediately already behind the eight ball to start my day. And so I jumped up and I took one of those like hurried, rushed showers, right? You know, they're not fun, but they're gonna get the job done. And so I took a quick shower and I just threw on an outfit, right? And it was just like whatever was on the floor, like, you know, we're just gonna mix and match it and make it work for the day. But so I threw that outfit on and I got into the kitchen and I poured a big bowl of cereal, and I didn't even have time to like sit down at the table. I'm standing at the counter, leaning over, just like shoveling cereal into my face, just trying to get out of the house on time. And my dad walks into the kitchen and he looks at me and he goes, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm gonna be late for school. And he's like, it's evening. It was 6:30 in the evening. I had not been abandoned to the couch all night, as I had thought. I was not late for school. I was just disoriented, and I was not fully awake to what was going on. I had come up out of that nap, and just the twilight of the evening looked like the same twilight of the morning, or whatever the correct word is for the morning piece, right? And I was out of it. And I had made this huge assumption, and I was going through the motions of just kind of what the normal type of rhythm response would be. And I was like, I was out of it. And so it wasn't until my dad gave me kind of like that wake-up call that, what are you doing? Like the most absurd type of interaction, that I was brought back into just kind of my senses. And I went back to bed. Right? Because I could still sleep whenever I felt like it. But a lot of us have probably had moments like that, right? Have you ever had that good nap and you woke up and you didn't know what time of the day it really was? Or maybe you've been on a vacation, or you were on a trip and you were sleeping somewhere that you woke up, you didn't recognize the room, and you didn't actually for a minute know where you were or what was happening, and you're kind of in that disoriented stupor. There's times in just kind of the natural where we understand this, where we're kind of awake but we're not, and there's this need for us to reawaken and to reorient ourselves to what's true and what needs to be done, and then to align the activity of our life with that so that we can move forward healthy and productive. And I share that story with you partly because there's a comedic element to it, and partly because that can happen to us spiritually. That spiritually we can find ourselves in this place where we are in need of kind of like a reawakening and a realignment of how we're seeing and understanding the way that life is to be lived, and then reorienting the activity of our life with that so that we can walk into kind of a healthy, productive, and fruitful type of living. And before we move on, I want to ask you to consider something. So if you're a note taker, this is going to be kind of just a thought for you to write down. Otherwise, just kind of hold on to it maybe in your conscience for later this morning. But I want you to consider, is there an area in your life right now that needs to be reawakened? Where you need to kind of have a rise and shine type of a moment where you come back to your senses, or where things are rightly aligned or put back in place, where what is true is exposed and understood, and then how to respond to that is something that is put in place. Where do you need something to kind of be reawakened? For some of you, you're going to have an area in your life where already you know, like, that's the area that's problematic. That's the big need. That's the big giant. That's the big mountain. That's the big hurdle. That's the big hurt. That's the big disappointment. That's the brokenness. Like, you'll already be like, oh, man, that's the thing. And I've been struggling in that place for so, so long. For others of you, it's going to need to be something that the Holy Spirit begins to bring some awareness to you. Because you're such in kind of the mode of just operating out of your normal mode of operation, or going through the motions, that you're going to need somebody to say, hey, what are you doing here? That's not lining up. But I want you to think about that. Are you in a place where you are fearful? Are you dealing with something that is causing anxiety? Are you overwhelmed? Are you overcome by despair? Maybe there's an awakening that needs to happen in those places. Do you feel lost? Do you feel stuck? Do you feel like less than, kind of diminished? Is there a place where you need to be restored or redeemed or put back into a healthy condition? I want to encourage you to just kind of keep that in the forefront of your thoughts, or at least in the conversation that you would have with the Holy Spirit this morning, so that you could be brought to a place where you could actually respond to the Lord and his promises in that area of need. If you got your Bible, go ahead and get that out. If you've got your smartphone or your tablet, I want to encourage you to go ahead and open up your Bible app, and let's just go ahead and raise those up to the Lord. Lord, we ask that you would give us soft hearts today to receive from your word. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, that there would be a responsiveness in us to the challenge of your word and the leading of your spirit. And Lord, that there would be a courage that rises in us to live our lives as the men of faith and the women of faith that you've called us to. And Lord, that we would be a part of participating with you and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. If your Bible's out, I want to encourage you to go to Isaiah chapter 60. Okay, so this is going to be an Old Testament prophetic book, Isaiah chapter 60. And we're going to be looking at the first several verses of that chapter and kind of unpacking that at length this morning. But I want to orient you to kind of what the prophetic books are like, or what the Old Testament prophets were like. So in the Old Testament, there's a number of different collections of prophetic books. There's going to be some that are called the major prophets, and those are just really long books. And then there's minor prophets, and their books were just kind of shorter. So really it has a little bit to do with the length and not just the focus of the word. But in the Old Testament, the prophet was somebody who would hear God's word for the people and then speak it to the people. So in essence, that was kind of what the interaction was like. God would speak to the prophet, and the prophet would bring that word to the people. And very often, the prophetic books have some pieces that are almost always a part of all of them. So regardless of whether you're in a major prophet or a minor prophet, whether we're talking about Isaiah or Hosea, all over the place, you're going to find these types of commonalities. One is that very often the prophet was first reminding the people of God of what had been true. There's a glance backwards of, this is what God said, this is what God has done, this is what it looked like to live in right relationship with him and how we enjoyed that experience. There's a back cast in the prophetic books that says, this is what was intended, or this is how it should be or should have stayed. This was kind of the beginning piece. And then there's another part of the prophetic book that would bring about kind of an assessment of what is. And so very often the prophet would say, this is what God said, but this is what you're doing. This is how we experienced God before, but this is what we're struggling with now. There was a present assessment of what was taking place. And so there was a move from what was going on back then to what is going on now. And then the prophetic book would move to a future promise. In fact, most of the Old Testament prophets would speak to a future promise, very often speaking to the idea of the Messiah and specifically speaking about Jesus. And so the prophetic books, just kind of as a whole, you could be looking, if maybe that was something you wanted to begin to kind of look at or read, maybe those would be new places in the Bible for you to begin to study. Be looking for that. What is the prophet saying about the way that it was and was supposed to be? What is the prophet saying about how things are right then when the message is being delivered? And then what was the future promise or the future hope that was coming up? And so the people of God were called to and invited to, listen, to live differently. Like the whole point of the Old Testament where the people of God were called to him, it was to live differently, to experience life differently, and to demonstrate that the way that life was being lived and the brokenness that was a part of that, the wickedness that was a part of that, that isn't what had to be the human experience. There was this invitation and then this demonstration of life could be lived different. And so the prophet was often about recalling that message and aligning kind of the new way that things were going to be lived out. In essence, the prophet or the prophetic book was a wake-up call. It would be like my dad standing there as I'm just shoveling cereal into my mouth and my dad saying, what are you doing? And that in that kind of like, well, what? And then kind of an evaluation and then adjustment like, I'm getting ready for school and school's not until tomorrow. So I need to kind of change the way that I'm living. The prophetic books were meant to do that. They were meant to be wake-up calls. And kind of through that lens, you could go and you could look at the Old Testament books. Again, you could do this on your own and you can hear the wake-up call. The what are you doing? Don't do that anymore. That's harmful. That's not helpful. That's out of alignment. It's always bringing about kind of these wake-up calls. And the wake-up calls would often kind of follow this type of a template, which would be similar to just kind of the overarching template of a prophetic book that looks back and then assesses what is and then points to a promised future. Oftentimes the wake-up call would come as a wake-up call, a what are you doing, a come to your senses, a kind of get your head up, get your eyes out, remember type of a statement. And then there would be an assessment of the present situation, and then there is this intended future. And I give you that because as we look at Isaiah chapter 60 in these first three verses, we see that 1, 2, 3 in verses 1, 2, 3. We're going to look at the wake-up call. We're going to look at the present situation or the evaluation of what is, and then we're going to look at the intended future. And I want you to think about the area of your life right now that needs a reawakening, that needs a move of God, that needs to be rightly aligned, that needs something to change. I want you to think about the anxiety that you're dealing with. I want you to think about the relationship fractures. I want you to think about the depression or the need or the infirmity or the brokenness, the thing that would be the need in you. And you're going through the motions and you're kind of doing the best that you can, but could you hear a wake-up call from the Lord today that would say, hey, wake up. We can do this different. And then as we close our time this morning, I'll move you towards a response in that. But Isaiah chapter 60, starting in verse 1, here's your wake-up call. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. This is the wake-up call. It's not the only one in the book of Isaiah. We're picking up in chapter 60. So there was a whole lot of other chapters prior to this that have wake-up calls as part of kind of the regular rhythm of it. But as we focus in on this one, this is the statement that begins this wake-up call. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. And this wake-up call isn't a wake-up call that this is happening right now in a sense that it has never happened before. It is a reminder of what was always true of God's people, that God was always present, that God was always in their midst demonstrating his glory. In fact, the whole picture of the Old Testament of kind of the tabernacle and even before that, the presence of God going before the nation of Israel as a pillar of fire and as a pillar of a cloud, it was always indicative that God was present, that he was there with them in their struggle, in their oppression, in their mess, and he was going to bring deliverance and he was going to make a way. That was always true. And so this statement here where Isaiah is saying, arise, shine, your light has come. It's not as if it hadn't been there before, but they weren't living out that reality. They weren't living into that identity. They were living in this time as if that wasn't true. And so the wake-up call was more of a call to remembrance of what is already true of them. Man of God, woman of God, listen to me. There are times where God is going to call you to wake back up to what is true of you. There are so many men and women who are children of the King. You've received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Paul would use the metaphor that you have now sonship, or you are an heir to the kingdom of God, but you don't live as kingdom heirs. We live as broken vagabonds in this world. And there's times where the Spirit of God is going to say, stop living like that. We're living like spiritual hobos when we could wake up and be children of the King of Kings. Like that's a different perspective. It's a different mindset. The challenges that you face, the difficulties that you walk through, even the burdens and the brokenness of your own past consequences for poor decisions that you've made, all of that shifts when I come as a child of the King than when I come as just kind of a spiritual vagabond. It's different. And so there's this wake-up call, and it's like, what are you doing? Listen to me. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to start walking like you've been saved. You need to start living out as if you've been redeemed. You need to start praying as if God actually hears and cares about you and actually listens to you as he would to his child. There needs to be a shift in you where you come boldly into the throne of grace, where you begin to see yourself as robed in the righteousness of Christ, when you actually begin to live into the identity that is already yours in Christ Jesus. That's a wake-up call. Listen to me. Outside of that, okay, if you're going through religious motions, if you're checking the box of maybe reading scripture once in a while or posting an inspirational meme and like you come to church once in a while, you're kind of going through like the religious checking the boxes, but you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need a wake-up call because that stuff is not going to add value. You're going to be going through a works-based trying to get God's attention through all of your own transactional effort, and you will always fall short because it's not meant to be experienced that way. You need Jesus. Those are some wake-up calls that are potential for us to move us from darkness to light, to move us from death to life, to move us from apathy to action. And if you're outside of Christ, you need Jesus. You need somebody to tell you that, and I'll do that this morning. You need him. And if you're in Christ, you need to live that identity out. And we oftentimes get those things backwards. But this is the wake-up call here. The wake-up call in Isaiah 60 is, hey, like God is present. He's with you. His glory is already with you. Like, go, arise. Wake up, get up, shine. Go, live that reality out. And then it moves to the present situation. And this is why this is a challenge for us, because our present situation oftentimes is difficult. It would be negligent of me to suggest to you that your life is somehow easy peasy lemon squeezy, that you're not dealing with absolute soul-wrecking burdens. The reality that in this room and people joining us on live stream, like the things that you deal with in life, they're hard, they're heavy, they're difficult. Anxiety, depression, those things are real. Broken relationships, Those things are real. Grief, those things are real. The burden that you feel for your community or the burden that you feel for your family, that's a weight. It's not just something that is a weight metaphorically. You can feel those things when they're suffocating your heart, your mind. You can feel the darkness when it feels like it's kind of closing in around you. And it moves from metaphor to actually how you feel. It becomes a part of your human experience. Those things are real. And as Isaiah is calling the people of God to this reality, to this wake-up moment, he moves to this statement in verse 2. It says, "See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples." Like there's a blanket statement of what was true for the people of God at that time, that the world that they lived in and the peoples around them were overwhelmed with darkness. They were suffocating in that. And you could take this line out and put it over almost any part of human history, and the same thing rings true. It rings true for us today in our community, in our state, our nation, in our world. It feels like there is darkness, and it feels like it's getting darker. Oftentimes, that's people's perspective and their experience. But look at this. The darkness covers the earth and darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord, what? Rises upon you and his glory appears over you. This is what is true of you, even in your most dark circumstance, if you have Christ. What is true of you when you're facing anxiety and depression, when you're facing failure, when you're facing difficulty, when you're facing disorienting circumstances and you don't know what direction to take, when you're facing indecision, when you're facing a sense of a deflated value of your own personhood, when you're wrestling with issues of identity, when all of those things become kind of things that are clouding and crushing in on you, when it feels like that darkness is overwhelming you, what is true of you in Christ is that his light already shines on you. His glory appears over you. Some of your circumstances are dark. Some of your circumstances are disorienting, disappointing. I had a conversation with a young couple this morning who a couple weeks ago we prayed and contended for a friend of theirs whose newborn baby was going through some difficulties. And this morning after first service and our interactions, they just wanted to make sure that I knew that that didn't end well. Like that's real. Like that loss is real. That grief is real. You don't know who I'm talking about or even what the situation is, but you've got your own. But even in the midst of that, Jesus is present. Like his light comes and shines in that space. There's hope in that despair. There's comfort in that grief. And it doesn't negate it. It doesn't wash it away. It doesn't make it as if we get to pretend like it doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt and it's not a weight that we carry, but we don't carry it alone. And we don't hurt forever. There's something about walking through this in a way where we allow the Lord's work to be a part of that. If you're in a place this morning where you're dealing with like dark issues in your life, you're dealing with disorientation, you're not really sure what to do or where to go, you feel lost, like whatever your answer was to the first couple of questions that we began with, can I just encourage you with this? Jesus is in that with you. And I know that you may not necessarily feel that yet, and you may not be able to see light on the horizon, but the light is with you in the present, and he will steward you with his grace and by his Spirit through this. Like, lean into him. As Isaiah moves out of this, he moves to verse 3, and there's this statement about this is the intended future for the people of God. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. We see in these three verses, we see this idea of this wake-up call. We see this very real assessment of what the present situation is, and a reminder that no matter how dark it is, that God is with you in that. He is for you in that. And then it moves towards this intended future, and I want you to see something in this. Nations will come to your light. So speaking to God's people, they're being told, hey, you have the light, but others are going to be drawn to that. Kings, leaders will be drawn to the brightness of your dawn. And here's what I want to remind you of. What God intends to do in you and for you in your darkness to bring about healing and wholeness and hope, to restore you and recover you to right relationship with Him, whatever God intends to do in you and for you, He also intends to do through you for others. This is one of the reasons why it is so important. It is so important for you and I to lean into the Lord in our times of difficulty. Because as we discover the truth of His word, as we receive the fullness of His promises, as we get to see and give voice to His faithfulness, as we get to enjoy a right relationship with Him and kind of a redemption and a recovery and a reconciliation, that what comes out of that is we begin to be able to share that with others. We become a part of that story in others, that what God does in me and does for me, now He gets to do through me and for others as I partner with Him. And that's the wake-up call for God's people just in these three verses. This is part of the wake-up call that Isaiah is trying to bring to a whole nation of people. Hey, wake up and recognize that the presence of God is already with you and that you need to live in alignment with that truth. Live out that identity. And regardless of how dark and how broken your life has become because of what the world has done to you or what you have done to yourself through your own decision-making, you can have that righted because God is present with you. He can redeem. He can restore, He can reconcile you to Him and to one another, and then through you, He can begin to draw others to that same hope. See, the series that we just began is this idea of rise and shine, and there is a very real, a wake-up call for the church that we need to rise and we need to shine. We need to waken from our spiritual apathy, and we need to be about kingdom business. But can I tell you, you don't have a lot of business rising and shining to the world if you're not allowing God to do that in you first. You have nothing to share until you've received from the Lord. And so our wake-up call draws us to this place where when I'm looking at my area of need, or when I'm looking at just the parts of my life where I'm just going through the motions, or where I've assumed something that is untrue and I'm just kind of living my life as if it is, that when I'm bumping into these wake-up calls, now is this moment to realign my life with the truth of God's word and the person of His presence, and then to begin to make a shift in the way that I live my life in light of that truth that moves me forward in that. And so going back to the beginning, like what is your area where you need a wake-up call? What is the issue in your life, the big need that you have that you need to see a move of God in? Could you wake up? Could you be kind of startled to your senses that He is present and that He is for you, and to be reminded of who you are in Christ? Or maybe startled to your senses and be reminded that you actually need a Savior. You've tried it on your own for long enough. And that in that, though your situation may be dark, it may be difficult, that He's present with you and He will walk you through that. And what He does in you, He can do through you as a result. And I want to give you just one thing to consider as maybe a step to take this morning. Just one thought to consider. Because if you're in this place where you need a wake-up call, if you're in this place where you need to see God move in a really dark circumstance, how can you begin? And I would say to do this first. Turn your face towards the light. Just turn your face towards Jesus. Psalm 27 verse 4 says this, says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." The psalmist understood something about the posture to take to experience and enjoy the presence of God in a very practical and tangible way. And I was to turn my face towards the Lord. To turn my face towards the Lord. For some of you, that type of a language is going to be, it's going to be a reminder that you're focused on the wrong things, that you're fixated on the wrong things, that your eyes have been arrested by so many other things, and you need to just turn your face back to Jesus. Some of you, that idea of like, how do I turn my face to the Lord? That's going to be like a new thought. It's going to be like a new metaphor for spirituality. And so can I suggest to you, beginning with this, just a very simple prayer that says, Jesus, I'm focusing my eyes on you. That you can begin there. And you can begin that journey there. But there's something in us that needs to start in that place where we turn our eyes towards the light. Church family, I'm going to ask you to stand. Worship team, if you would come forward. We're going to take a couple minutes to close this morning. I was reading about sunflowers this week. I don't know how much you know about sunflowers as like a crop or as a plant. But there's an interesting thing about sunflowers, especially when they're young plants and they're just kind of starting to get the flower in the face. The sunflower follows the path of the sun in the sky. There's a lot of different kind of plants that'll kind of do that. They'll orient a certain direction so they get the most amount of sun. But the sunflower is a really kind of unique type of plant in botany where a sunflower field, if you drive by it in the morning, all the heads are pointed to the east as the sun is coming up. And then as the sun goes through kind of the arc of the day, the flower faces all kind of follow that same arc. Especially the young plants that are developing. And I was reading an article because they kind of discovered some of the reasons behind it and some of the whys. Even the way that the stem of the flower kind of changes length on certain sides in order to make that revolution. It's fascinating if you care about plants, and it's boring already for those who don't. But I was thinking about that as I was thinking about rising and shining and beginning with first turning my face towards Jesus. Because the sunflowers, right, they turn their face towards the sun, the S-U-N. And I was just thinking how appropriate it is for me to think about making sure that I face the S-O-N, the sun. It's a good first start. It's a good first step for you as we begin this series together, as we discover what it means to be awakened out of our spiritual lethargy and to shine the love of God. We can just begin this morning with turning our face towards the Lord. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment, a way of closing out distractions. And the first thing I would call to your remembrance is the area in your life where you need an awakening. Where you need a move of God, where you need the light of Jesus to shine in again and to make a change, to make a shift, to redirect, to reorient, to realign. What would that look like? Jesus, we turn our face towards you in this moment. We arise from our stupor and focus our eyes on you. We turn our face to the sun. Lord, for my friends here who are dealing with fear or anxiety, despair, depression, they're feeling overwhelmed or overcome, Lord, draw their gaze to you and the freedom that is found in you. Lord, for my friends here who feel lost or less than or feel stuck, Lord, draw their eyes to you as you lead them into freedom. Lord, for my friends who are dealing with issues of hopelessness in their relationship or their finances or their health, Lord, would you draw their eyes to you as you are our provider and our healer. And church family, as you would be drawing your attention to the face of Jesus, and as you would be offering that area of need to him, I would speak this blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Lord, let that be our experience this week. Draw that to our remembrance. And Lord, give us a wake-up call that we would respond to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Action steps for you this week. Couple questions to consider. Number one is just to kind of be aware of situations that you're facing that feel dark or disorienting or without hope, or places in your life where you're just kind of going through the motions. Allow the Lord to draw those to your attention and respond in this way. First, invite Jesus to come into those areas of need. And number two, turn your face intentionally towards him in response to that.